call the left temporal lobe and tries to reduce the activity in what we call the parietal lobes. So it's a neurobiological phenomenon induced by the blessing. The result is you can get in touch with the indweller because of these changes, and you can get in touch with what we call the divine or the transpersonal, whatever word you would like to use. So it takes you into the other dimension. That is the purpose of the blessing. The blessing is more like a vehicle which carries you to another realm. Thereafter, you got to deal with the indweller or the transpersonal realm. The indweller himself is only in the himself or herself is only in the transpersonal realm. So to connect to the transpersonal realm, the brain must undergo some changes. So the Diksha induces a neurobiological phenomenon by which that happens. The power of the blessing depends on the one who's giving the blessing as also the one who's receiving the blessing. Both are involved in it. And the later connections with the indweller would depend upon how much the one who's received the blessing is working upon himself. Your role would be to help him work on himself. That's why you must work as groups. The group must help the other to work on himself or herself. If you keep working on yourself, then what happens is you get closer and closer to the indweller. It can become so close that the indweller can become almost physical. You could possibly even touch the indweller. You can even come out and you could even touch the indweller. It can go to that extent. There are people who have this kind of a physical indweller, the indweller coming out and even chatting with them. It's not a rare phenomenon. It's quite well known in India and many parts, and even some Westerners I know. So it depends upon how much you grow. And depending on that growth would be your relationship with the indweller. Let me see what's the second part of the question.
How can they help the receiver?
Yeah, how could you help the receiver is, you have to form groups and share your lives, share your suffering, your pain, your joys. And the one who's speaking must be allowed to speak, and the other must non-judgmentally listen to him. And the next level, he must report to the other person what is happening inside him. Suppose the person is talking about his fear. Fear might get triggered in you. Then you have to tell him that as I've been listening to you, fear got triggered in me. This is how I see things. So there should be a mutual sharing. So not only the one who is suffering benefit, the one who is listening also would equally benefit. This is the way you have to form groups. It's very essential that if we are going to make 2012 happen, we must form groups. It is these groups which are going to bring about the perceptual shift in the year 2012. Like for example, what happened in 1989 set a chain of events in world history, like the Berlin Wall, the paving away of communism, and what we saw in China, and many, many other events. We don't have time for those things. So that set a new trend for the planet, and the effect is still going on. We are moving in a new direction after 89. Similarly, something is going to happen in 2012, which is going to set a new direction to world events thereafter. To make those events happen, we have to form groups, and we have to become powerful blessing givers and move into different states of higher states of consciousness. So this is basically possible by working on yourself, not individually as well as a group. That you must do for yourselves. I, of course, from here will be guiding you. My guiding you is level 3. So that's the answer for the first question. We move on to the second question.
Can you tell us about giving blessings but healing? Some of us feel. Some of us feel that we have taken on the sufferings of others. Some blessing givers feel deep sadness while giving the blessing. How can we maintain our strength and health so that we can be actively of service to humanity? As we continue to merge with the divine, will our physical bodies get stronger naturally? Is it possible to take on the karma of others unintentionally?
Read the question once again.
Bhagwan, can you tell us about giving blessings but healing? Some of us feel that we have taken on the sufferings of others. Some blessing givers feel deep sadness while giving the blessing.
All fair. So, as long as you feel It is the divine which is healing. No karma will be transferred to you. But if you feel some way that you are involved in the healing, then certainly karma comes to you. What you must know is, you are merely a vehicle for those divine energies to flow into you and to affect the person. If you make the mistake of thinking that you are the one who is healing, that is your energies which are healing, then there is a possibility of a backlash, and that may, and that karma might come to you. The other part of the question?
How can we maintain our strength and health so that we can be actively of service to humanity?
So, no, a little bit more, earlier one.
Some blessing givers feel deep sadness while giving the blessing.
Yeah, that is very good. If you feel that sadness and give the blessing, it's going to be very therapeutic. It's very good, and in fact, it's recommended. See, as long as you feel it is the divine which is doing it, that you are merely lending your body, mind and spirit, there is no problem at all. It has its own rewards. Because karmically you have helped a person, and your good karma bank account goes on increasing. Mm. So you gain by helping others. You don't lose anything as long as you realize it's the divine which is doing and not you. If you think you are doing, your karma account is going to, the good karma account will go down, the bad karma account would increase. But as long as you think it's the divine which is doing, your good karma account goes up, and you could encash it for whatever purpose you want to. So that's how you've got to do it. It all depends upon identification. As long as you do not identify yourself, there is no problem. If you identify, there is a problem. But sometimes, unintentionally, things can go wrong. That's why, as a precautionary measure, at the end of the day, you have got to wash your hands and feet in salt water.
Mm.
That is the best precaution you could take.
Ooh.
Continue.
As we continue to merge with the divine, will our bodies, as we continue to merge with the divine, will our physical bodies get stronger in action? Is it possible to take on the karma of others unintentionally?
Yes. As you keep merging with the divine, your body becomes very strong. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I met an Indian Swami who had met me in 1984, and thereafter many things happened to him. So nowadays he gets buried under the earth for about 92 days, and several tests have been done whereby he does not breathe, his heartbeat is zero, and yet he is completely alive after 92 days. Now this person originally happened to be an allopathic doctor and an Ayurvedic doctor, and many things. Now he is over 70 years old. He looks as though he's 35, not a single black hair, no sagging of muscles, and he's over 70. He's worshipped in many Indian temples, his idols are kept and worshipped. And this man is completely with the divine, and very soon he's going to enter to what's called a Mahasamadhi. That is, he'll be buried alive under a concrete slab, and a temple will be built on him. And he's feeling that he may live there for a century or so under the ground and blessing people. There's also the samadhi of his earlier guru, and buried many years ago. And even now, if you go and do like this, he'll answer from inside that samadhi. So those of you who come to India, we could take you there and we could even show you this. So these people who merge so much with the divine, it looks like they can even physically go on forever. So I myself could not guess this man's age. And then I thought it must be 35, because there were his disciples, and who are looking very old, and I thought maybe they were a young master. Later on I came to know he's that old. So it certainly affects your health, and you do in fact become very strong. Mm. Unless that guru has chosen to take on somebody's karma, then of course, like Ramana Maharshi, you may get cancer. So it depends upon how you choose to live. So that's the first question, I think.
Next question. All that has played out recently has triggered judgment, disappointment, even bitterness at the way of the world. I'm aware that this judgment is coming from my own unresolved pain. And this pain is holding me back from life and freedom and is hardening my heart. I have sat with my pain, experienced it, and it shifted to joy. I have had beautiful spiritual experiences, but the pain of the old conditioning keeps returning. Bhagwan, what do you suggest I do to become more trusting and open to life as it is, and the unknown?
See, you have to go on practicing inner integrity till you have gone deep inside yourself and seen what is actually there. If you go deep inside, you will find there's nothing but fear, essentially fear. There is deceit, there is cunning, there is jealousy, and all that muck, it's all there. You have to confront it. Confront it means not challenge it, but look at it. And then do not try to change it, because that cannot be changed. Because these are contents of the mind, and the mind is very, very old. It's as old as man himself. And that is the structure of the mind that cannot be changed. It is the nature of the mind. For example, if you take sugar, sugar is crystalline. It tastes sweet. Its specific heat is that much. Its specific gravity is that much. You can't do anything about it. You take salt, it has its own qualities. So the human mind has evolved over millions of years into what it is today. But the basic structure itself has not changed very much. Fear is there. It was there for ancient man. It is there today. Jealousy was there. It is there. Anger was there. It is there. Desire was there. It is there. But the objects have changed. Probably earlier man had fear for the tiger or the lion or some wild beast or the fear of hunger. Today's man has fear of the share market and what's happening to the economy. And somebody would have envied or felt jealousy about somebody's fear. Now you would feel jealous about somebody's car. So essentially the structure has not changed. And it's also, it has been genetically designed that way. So fighting to change that would be foolhardy. So if there is a problem with you, like for example, you live in a street where there's the mafia or something like that, and there's no way you could get out of that street, and the mafia would not leave. So what is the best way to handle the situation? Could you tell me what's the best way to handle the situation? The mafia will not move, and you cannot leave that place. So what do you do?
Experience the fear.
The best way would be to go to the mafia, to surrender to the mafia. Take nice, a pack of sweets to him or some gifts to him, maybe embrace him and praise him. And the mafia would say, okay, you do whatever you want, I won't trouble you. You become a friend of the mafia. Something similar must happen here, since you cannot change all these things, sir. Because it is not you, it is there in you, but you are not that. It will remain so. Whether you are enlightened or not, it will remain so. The only difference is the enlightened man is not playing with it. He's not trying to change it. He's not feeling bad about it. It just remains. So once you see it is there, and it is there in everybody, because it is the one mind. Like let us say somebody is having a H1N1 problem. So it's not your H1N1 or somebody's H1N1. It is H1N1, that's all. It is swine flu. It's not your swine flu or his swine flu. You can't have ownership over it. Similarly, you can't have ownership over your mind and its qualities. It is the human mind. Of course, if the brain undergoes some change, maybe things will change. Maybe the future man could be very different. But as of now, that is our brain, genetically programmed. That is how it will function. So there will be a negative side to you, which you're all the time masking, because you can't exhibit it in public. There are terrible things going on inside. If you speak it out, what would happen? So there is this negative side. You have got to accept it and not say it is bad or good. It is there, that's all. You have to take a neutral stand. If you say, okay, it's very good, something's wrong with it. If you say it's very bad, that also is not all right. It is there. You cannot do anything about it. That's when you realize change is impossible. Now, when change is impossible, what do? You just keep quiet. And keeping quiet is the solution. So for this to happen, you must first probe. Without probing, how do you know what's inside there? So bravely go ahead. The blessing would help you to go inside, see a lot of things which you never imagined before. This is what all the great ones have done. Be it a Buddha or a Christ or all the great ones, they have done this. They have gone inside, they have seen what is there. And they said, let it be so. When you say let it be so, you become free of it. It is there, but you're free of it. This, if you practice, you will see tremendous changes happening to you. Most of all, conflict would slowly cease. As conflict ceases, slowly something will happen. You will begin to feel connected. And then when you begin to feel connected, you will find that thought subsides. Then that which thought cannot touch would start expressing itself. Because that which would come in cannot be touched by thought, because it's not a concept. It is not a belief. It is not a view. It is not even an experience the mind always experiences. No, it's something very living, what we call the present. It's very, very living. That would take in, that would come in of its own, and that is the benediction we are talking about. And to get there, you have to move step by step. Go inside, discover, accept, love. These are automatic sequences. It does not require great time, energy, and effort. Only the first phase takes time, energy, and effort. And if you use the blessing, it gets quite fast. Thereafter, no time is required. No energy is required. No effort is required. Now suppose there is a snake in that hall where you are there, and then all of you are jumping in great fear. Then suddenly somebody brings a torch and you discover it's not a snake, it's a rope. Fear has disappeared instantaneously. It has not taken time, does not take an energy, does not take an effort. You saw and you are free. To see is to be free. It does not take any of these things, but the whole trouble is getting a torchlight and putting a torchlight and seeing what is there. That is the effort that is required on your part. Once that is done, slowly you'll find something very remarkable happens. First you feel there's a peace. Then you discover conflict is absent. No, nothing has changed. Your wife is still nagging you. Your husband is still troubling you. Your son is disobeying you. You have problems with your friend. But strangely, those things have not changed, but it is no more affecting you. You're simply taking it in your stride, and even that is giving you joy. And little by little you find, even the other is slowly changing. And when that happens, thought quietens down. The thought is the mischief maker. The thought is measurement. It's all the time measuring things, and because it is measuring things, the beauty is lost. Reality is lost. So thought subsides, and reality comes into focus. Along with reality comes something which I would not like to talk about, that you have got to discover it for yourself. I would simply call it the benediction. It is there. So it's like a sequence, naturally happens. And I hope that all of you could get there latest by 2012, when you could make a big impact on the planet, helping a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we'll go into all these things at a deeper level in the subsequent Skype sessions. We move on to the third question now.
Is there an opportunity for us to become trainers ourselves? How do we
do that? So if you want to become a trainer, you should have attended a level 1 and a level 2 and send in an application here supported by 10 other trainers. Then you could come to India here. We will train you and we will initiate you into initiating others. Thereafter, you could initiate others to becoming blessing givers. So all that is required is you have to finish a level 1 or level 2. If you have not done it, you could come and do it in India, because we will no more be doing level 1 or level 2 in Italy or in Fiji. If anything is going to go on there, they are not our courses. So you could come to India, have a level, and in India it has been made quite cheap now. You could come, could take a level 1 level 2 and give it an application supported by 10 other trainers. That means you have been recommended. And then we will train you, and it will also initiate you in order that you could initiate others. And these trainers are the ones who must build the blessing givers around them as a group for the final 2012 action. So that's the answer for that question. Anything left? Assume for over?
Questions are over, Bhagwan. Mm-hmm. There's some concluding remarks I want to make.
Okay.
Bhagwan, we are so happy and excited about your plans for the courses. We are delighted to be able to see you and speak with you. We just want to let you know how much we love you. Thank you so much.
There will be no more oneness courses outside India. Whatever courses will happen only in India, the courses will be completely free of charge. You will be charged only for a board and lodge, internal transport and laundry. That's all. So courses are free. And I'll myself be personally interacting with you. There'll be no barrier between you and me. There'll be nobody standing in between. There'll be direct interaction. And you'll be trained to become trainers, whereby you conduct courses in your own countries and initiate people on your own. And then you get ready for 2012, we are all getting ready for 2012. That's the key thing. So there we're going to do our best to affect human perception. Of course, we're not the only group. Many groups will be doing this kind of thing. Whatever they believe is their vision, we'll do whatever is ours. Ours is to stop this alienation between one human being and another. One human being must feel very close to another, be it his wife, a husband, son, or any other stranger. He must feel very close to him. He must feel connected at oneness. We start inner oneness and we'll end with planetary oneness, and then we go beyond into the transpersonal, which is the divine. Finally, you must feel that you are one with the divine. You and the divine are not separate. The divine is your own higher self, and you are alienated from that. It's not something out there into which you have to merge. No, it's there already in you. You are the divine, but you feel the sense of separation, and that should go. So that's why I'm telling, as far as we are concerned here, in oneness, I am God, you are God. The ant is God, the elephant is God. God has become all this. The one who's having AIDS is also God. He's God who's having AIDS. One is having H1N1, is God who's having H1N1. So when we are helping him, we are helping God. And since all are God, we're helping God only. This would become a living experience for you, not a theory, not a concept, not a belief. But some of the, maybe if you're strongly a strong Christian, maybe you might abhor the idea of becoming one with God. That's personal. You can stop short of becoming one with God. You can halt somewhere. Or if you're a Muslim and that forbids you, then you should not do it. But there are others who have no problems. If that is a fact, you'll see that you are only that God. So the whole purpose here is to separate that illusion. So the only problem with you is you have this illusion, and this illusion we are going to tear down. Once we tear it down, you will discover for yourself, as I have said, truth is still untruth as long as it is not your truth.
Mm.
It will become your truth. That's all there is to it. You're all going to become God. That's the whole purpose of this world. That is the oneness, the ultimate oneness. We start with inner oneness. We stop the conflict inside. We start there. And we end up finally becoming God Himself. So we end this session with this. Next time we'll continue. Oh, now yes. I think we'll meditate for a few minutes.
Thank you so
shall
much.
We go
thank
into
you,
meditation
Bhagavan.
Then?
Thank you.
Months.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Love you,
Bhagavan.
And if everyone wants to have Diksha, I think we... Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Thank you.